Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Hi. Hey, how's your credit rating? I took a look at mine, and it's pretty darn good, actually. It's over 800. So it's...
You're one of the few. Good job.
Well, yeah, that voice you just heard was Karina Mendoza. She's a bilingual financial educator at UW Extension, works out of Dane County. She helps families with personal finance issues like budgeting and credit scores. So we're going to talk with her a bit about her center and how maybe you can improve your financial IQ. I hope you will join in with your own questions or comments about personal finances as we visit with her. How do you stick to your budget? Love to hear your questions and comments. Give us a call. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And Karina, welcome. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, let's talk about that UW Extension Financial Center. What is it about and who can use the services?
That's a great question. The UW Financial Education Center is part of the Dane County UW Extension, and we are open to the public, especially for those in Dane County. And we provide evidence-based information, tools, resources, and basic support to kind of help our community members increase their credit worthiness, reduce barriers to housing, improves their credit, and basically kind of improve their overall financial well-being, which is really a boring way of saying being able to meet your ongoing financial obligations and also prepare for the future and just have that personal choice to move in life, to take vacations, to enjoy life without worrying whether you're going to have enough money to pay the rent or to pay the mortgage.
Are there centers like this in other counties in the state?
That's a really good question. We have 72 counties in Wisconsin and three tribal nations, and couple of counties can be represented by one center. And not everybody has it, but we are available through online at the University of Wisconsin Extension.edu. We have all the resources that we provide at the centers.
So you can just go University of Wisconsin.edu?
Extension.wisc.edu.
All right, there we go. Extension.wisc.edu. And then when you get there, you're going to see
a bunch of little
things.
You're going to see a lot of things, and you want to go to family and finances.
Okay, and click on there, and there
correct.
You go.
Correct, and you will also have the options of selecting your own county and finding out whether your county has the office.
Ann in Wisconsin Dells already with a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Ann.
Hello. So we were recently contacted by our lender, and our current mortgage has PMI as a part of our loan payment, and we really want to get rid of the PMI, but they said that the only way to do that is to refinance. But to me, if we refinance, yes, we'd be saving $100 a month, but then we're starting all over on the loan. So to me, I don't know, I'd almost rather keep the PMI and not lose everything that we've already paid in. So I'm kind of looking for some advice on that.
And, you know, first, Karina, PMI, some people may say, well, I can't remember exactly what that all means. So what is PMI?
It is the percentage of your mortgage interest, your personal mortgage interest. And I first have to say that we at Extension are not financial advisors nor counselors. So what we do is provide basic information. And before you start to refinance a loan or deal with that, I would definitely strongly encourage you to create a budget, figure out realistically how much you're able to afford before you refinance anything, because you don't want to overpromise anything.
in her case, she'd be paying less. But then if it's a 30-year loan, for example, then you're back out to 30 years.
Yes.
And so that has, you know, implications.
Correct. So I would definitely just say, look at your financial situation, look at your life choices and figure out whether that's the right decision for you.
If you want to be paying that for another 30 years or however, maybe if she had a 15-year note, that's a possible scenario as well. It's where, you know, okay, if you're 60 years old, do you want to start another 30 years? That's the kind of thing you have to kind of think about, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah. There you go, Ann. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Let's talk about credit reports first. They're pretty important.
Credit reports are definitely really important, and most Americans don't realize that they are entitled to a free credit report, one from each of the credit bureaus, once a year. And so at Extension, we recommend, we're running a Check Your Free Credit Report campaign, which is, 2266-1010. So, February 2nd, June 6th and October 10th, go ahead and go to, annual credit report and check your credit report just to make sure that all the information on your report is correct and it belongs to you.
Yeah, because, well, it's a good way to find out if somebody else is trying to get into your credit.
Exactly. And it allows, by spreading them out throughout the year, it enables you, empowers you to have an ongoing monitoring process, and also just to make sure that you're even in a position if you want to open a new line of credit, if you want to refinance a loan and so forth. And especially for a lot of our seniors and residents who are constantly moving throughout the year, it's a good way to see if anybody, identity theft going on.
What are the basic things that you see in terms of affecting your credit rating?
Definitely anything that affects the credit ratings is the payment history and the amount due. Payment history is 35%, makes up 35% of your credit score, and 30% is the amount due. And so many Americans don't know this or don't realize this, but you should definitely stay within below 25% of your credit limit.
That makes good sense. You can join in too at 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. So in terms of increasing your credit rating or your credit score, what are some good ways to do that?
That's a good question. And I think it's important to kind of take a step back and really look at the difference between a credit report and a credit score. Mm-hmm. Your credit report is all the activity that you ever do, make a payment, don't make a payment on time, or the credit that you take out, line of credit, and so forth. And so I really strongly advise people to always review that. Because at any one point in time, you can have multiple credit scores. So the major ones are FICO, Advantage, Credit Karma, and so forth. And so all of them will have different formulas that they use the information on your credit report, plug it into their own specific formula, and spit out a score. And so the main score is the FICO, and that's the one that most mortgage lenders and lenders use. And so that's why I'm always encouraging people to check the credit report. And once you have, and also remember that your credit score can vary at any one moment. For example, Credit Karma, which is a nonprofit one, will most likely give you a slightly higher credit score. And so when it cut, and so that's why it's really important to realize that if you want to improve your credit score, always, always concentrate on the payment history, meaning paying on time, paying more than the maximum, more than the minimum, sorry, and also trying to keep those balances below 25% of the credit limit.
Dee in Janesville, thanks for calling.
Yes, for the person who had the PMI.
Yeah.
And said that she had to refinance. I had PMI some time back, and I had an appraisal done and showed that I had the 20% and did not have to refinance. They just ended it.
Ah, there you go. That makes actually good sense. So in the case of our earlier caller, if she'd had... If the value of a reappraisal exceeded 20%, was 20% or more, they should be able to eliminate the PMI.
Right. I would check with her lender on that and then insist on it.
Yeah, and then insist on it. Could you insist on it?
Yes, I would. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Dee, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, we're talking today with Karina Mendoza. She's a bilingual financial educator at the UW Extension in Dane County. Helps families with personal finance issues like budgeting and credit scores and so forth. I hope you'll join in with your own questions. What do you have about budgeting, or what would you like some help with on maybe raising your score? We can talk some more about that. And your financial questions. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you go ahead and email us at ideas@wpr.org. We are going to take a quick look at the news, the weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net, and then we'll be back with Karina Mendoza. You stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute. I'm Larry Mueller. Personal finances can have their ups and downs, at least if you're like me. I've had my own personal financial ups and downs over the years. I'm in a good place now, but who knows? I might not be next year even. Well, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us. Well, that's what we're talking about today with our guest, Karina Mendoza. She's a bilingual financial educator at UW Extension in Dane County. She helps families with personal finance issues like budgeting and credit scores. So what questions do you have about your own personal finances and controlling them? Problems with debt? What questions do you have about keeping your credit in good standing? Join in. The number is 1-800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a call. Andrea in Minocqua. We'll give you a chance. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry and Karina. Would you please state exactly how you go about checking your credit scores?
Yeah, we'll just go right through the steps.
Sure. I would Google annualcreditreport.com.
Annualcreditreport.com.
And literally, you would need your name, last name, your Social Security, telephone number, basic information, and you can get your credit score and credit report online for free.
So do you
do not pay?
you have to be careful.
Yeah,
you get the right place because there's other places that charge for you.
Yes, so this is a nationally recognized organization. You do not pay, and it's annualcreditreport.com.
Okay.
And you're able to not only request a specific credit report from one of the credit bureaus, but you're also be able to get the average of your credit score using those three credit reports.
And so you're going to take one this time around,
yes.
Andrea Wood,
yes.
And kind of note the day and
which one, whether it's Equifax or Experian or TransUnion, correct?
Those are the three. And then I would mark on the calendar, what, 4 months from now?
Correct. Mark 4 months, and then in 4 months, you go again to annualcreditreport.com, and then you choose the next credit bureau that you haven't chosen, and you do it again. And just make sure that you just check your report.
And so after you get through all three of them, you're ready to start all over again.
Correct. Happy New Year. And so that's why UW Extension has that campaign where it's 2266 and 1010 to kind of make it slightly easier. But again, as long as you're counting the 4 months, you could go ahead and do it yourself on that way.
Okay. Andrea, does that help?
Thank you very much.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Americans aren't great at creating and following a budget. I don't think anyway.
No,
and I
not.
Am, it's me too sometimes. But it's something we should take the time to do.
I definitely suggest everybody takes the time to do. It's not the easiest of tasks, mostly because it could be a little scary as to like finding out where the money is going, and or we just have so many things going on and juggling and football games to go to and work to go to and events. And I really encourage people to at least once a month, preferably at the beginning of the month, just list down all the money that you have coming in. This could be on a calendar. This could be in your day runner. This could be paper and pen, Excel, and just write when you're getting paid, how much money you have coming in, whether you have any food share, food stamps, any disability income coming in. Everything counts because it's all the finances that you have coming in for that month. Then organizing and just listing down everything that you have to pay, from mortgage to the rent to water, utilities, and so forth. And once you do that, the leftover and subtract the income from the expenses that you have to pay in order to survive, you will realize how much money you have to what I call play around with. And that money is the money that you will have to spend, to save, and or to donate. Whichever your preference is.
Or all three, probably.
Or all three. And I usually, what I end up doing is every Sunday morning, mm-hmm. when I don't have to go to church until later on mm-hmm. in the day, in the morning, I don't want to get out of my PJs. I want to keep drinking that coffee. I want to just take it easy. I open my mobile app or go online and to my financial institution and just pull out all just my checking account and look at all the transactions. And I simply just start writing down where everything went.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I've noticed a little pattern, and I'm not going to reveal it, but I tend to highlight the patterns and realize, good Lord, $112 on Target is not probably the best use of my money. And that, for me, it's kind of like the wake-up call that I need to then readjust my spending habit for the next week or the remainder of the month. And so by quote-unquote budgeting is such, I think it's such a dirty word because it implies like dieting or excluding or depriving the good stuff of life. But instead, I like to just say that it's just monitoring my money, making mm-hmm. sure my money's where it's supposed to be. And so I try to avoid using the dirty word budget and just making sure I know where my money is and how much money I have coming in, how much money I have going out to the bills to help Karina continue her lovely job at UW Extension and making sure that my money stays in my savings account or in my checking account in case I need new tires or I need to go to urgent care or if I need to help my parents out or like to take them out for a treat, and just makes me more empowered as to knowing where my money is.
And if you go to some of the lending institutions, or your like your credit union, for example, if you have a, if you're a member of a credit union, they will kind of tell you a little bit about how you spent your money if you look at it over a year's time.
Yes, and you also have the option of coming up with certain categories and putting certain bills under certain categories, and that's really helpful. But it's only helpful if you're going to revise it. So I know, or review and revise. So I kind of call it the trilogy, where it's action when you pay your bills and or spend your money or save, and then you're going to review your actions. Mm-hmm. And then based on how you think you did, you're going to either revise, spend less, spend slightly more, save more, etc. So if we just keep those three steps, I think we should be in the clear, because you'll be able to catch little habits that may snowball into something larger.
By the way, a listener wanted to remind us that some people don't have computer access. So there is a number you can go to for getting free credit reports. And the number that I have is 877-322-8228. And I believe that's the correct number, 877-322-8228.
Correct.
So that's a number you can use if in case you don't have computer access. You can phone that number and they can help you out there. And
thank you for that.
Yeah, appreciate that very much. Well, again, you can join in 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Do you guys have resources for people at the center? You know, this whole thing about budgeting, are there tips and so forth that people can get there?
Yes. We have several different resources. So the first one being is that you can set up a one-on-one with myself or Deb Navarro, who's the director of the Financial Education Center, and meet with us individually, and we can together start creating your budget and figuring out and tracking your expenses and so forth. We also offer free workshops with a lot of our partners. For example, later this month, we will be giving a basic budgeting and credit information workshop at the Goodman Sells Public Library in Madison. And also we do have the financial change coaching program. So anybody who has a specific financial goal and is able to commit meeting with their financial coach for 6 months, we can also have pair them off with a financial coach.
Oh, that's nice.
No, it's great. And it's not, and again, we're not financial advisors, we're not planners, but we are a coach. So we will help you identify the steps that you need to take and also identify the consequences of those certain steps or not taking those steps, and let you decide which step or action is best for you and your family.
Don't you have something on tax assistance?
Yes, we do. Dane County has the largest VITA site. So VITA is the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. And so during tax seasons, we have over 100 volunteers who are certified tax preparers by the IRS. And we have the largest walk-in, no appointments needed service for free tax preparation. And it's normally on Mondays and Wednesdays from 12 to 6, and on Saturdays from 9 to 3 during tax season?
You know, I was thinking about my own financial situation, which is pretty good right now, but it could hit anybody, me or anybody else. You could lose a job. You could become ill. You lose your partner. Thinking about, or in my case, too, a daughter who's going to be going on to college. And though we've saved a fair amount of money, it's not going to probably cover her entire college education. Well, I'm sure it's not.
Yes.
So that's going to create some issues. When you need to kind of think ahead, in other words.
You definitely need to think ahead and plan accordingly. And I usually just say, what services are out there that are free that are going to stretch your dollar? And so if there are an emergency, and I always incur, remind my clients that no matter how low or high your credit score is, no matter how low or high your checking account is, all of those numbers do not determine your worth as a human being.
Yeah.
Bottom line, it doesn't mean that you are a bad person or a good person. It just means, oops, life happens, and we need to learn and move forward in a way that will make us stronger for the next one. And so that's like my first blanket statement that I always have to remind people. But I also then always try to identify things that aren't free. For example, if you are preparing for the future and you are afraid that you may lose your job, or even if you're not, it's always, always important to save, pay yourself first. Put $50 for car maintenance aside. Pay yourself a certain percentage of your savings that you're able to maintain. I don't like prescribing, say, 10% of your paycheck for savings, because you may have urgent needs. So one size does not fit all. But save as much as you can. As your income rises, you increase the savings. For a lot of the kids who may be going into college and don't find themselves that even though they saved or they didn't save, they may not be able to afford the full tuition. What are the alternatives? The alternatives are that more and more students are going to community college, to trade schools, to state schools, and then transferring over to other institutions that they want the name on their diploma. Get your GEs done somewhere where it's affordable.
Amen to that.
And also, if you have to take out student loans, and I would imagine that almost a lot of them are. I was a first generation college student myself, and so I was the first one in my family to go to the university, and so for me it was unknown territory, and I made all the mistakes that you're not supposed to do, and I had to learn the hard way, and so. Come to call us at the Education Center, talk to your bankers, know what the terms mean on your student loans. What does promissory note mean? What does a cosigner mean? What does deferring the interest mean? Research has shown that for a lot of first-generation students, paying the interest on the student loans while you go to school actually makes the student loans a little bit more manageable when you graduate. But then again, it really depends if you have that extra time to pay and money to pay those interest.
Can you pay just part of that each month, or is it you have to pay the whole thing?
I would talk to the lender. I cannot imagine a lender not wanting to take your money.
Yeah.
So I would definitely contact the lender and see whether you could make payments throughout.
These partial payments
exactly.
Throughout.
Yes.
Then you'd have 4 years of payments in or whatever, and that even a few bucks a month wouldn't add up.
Or those few months, as soon as you have a few bucks if you could, for example, if you are able, you get a great internship or you get a great job for the summer. Mm-hmm. If you save some of that money and maybe put it in a CD, maybe put it in interest in a savings account, then it gets interest. So you could then later use that money and use it to pay your loans at the end. So it really depends on what works for the individual person.
Thinking about just creditors and debt and debt collection, do you deal with helping people?
Yes.
what's some of your advice on that?
I have to say that no matter how bad your credit score is or how much money you owe, you are not a bad person. Nobody's waiting with a warrant for your arrest. The IRS is not going to send the cops to your home. Nothing bad is going to happen. Collectors and collection agencies are doing their job by trying to scare you into paying. You as a person, as a human being, have certain consumer rights. And if they are harassing you, you have the right to let them know they need to stop harassing you. A great resource is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that has a lot of great resources that we rely on in order to deal with credit collection agencies. And so if you do have a collection agency hounding you and calling you 24/7, you have the right to tell them to stop. And also, I would encourage you never, never, ever to make payment agreements without doing your budget first, because you don't want to overpromise. You don't want to get yourself into a jam. And I had one client several years ago who unfortunately was a victim of domestic abuse, and she ended up not having insurance and ended up she felt compelled to pay $25 for the ambulance, $25 for this, anesthesia, and all of this for like 10 different companies. And she was barely able to pay her rent. And that's not the situation you want to be in. You want to make sure that you know exactly how much money total you have to be able to pay all these different bills. And if you're not able to pay, call them. Call them and say, I am not able to pay. I have no money. I have an economic hardship. What can you do to help me? And most companies, they will most likely work with you if you contact them first.
Yeah, I think that's a key, because most of the time, well, I shouldn't say most of the time, but I would think often the situation is you don't want to talk to them. You're kind of afraid to talk to them, but you're better off.
Definitely.
Calling them and saying, look, here's my situation.
Yes. So I'm going to give you an analogy that I tell to discourage the not doing anything. When I was learning how to drive, when I was a young kid in Los Angeles, I didn't realize that I was doing, when I made a left turn, I always signaled. I always checked, made sure that the road was clear. But apparently, according to my dad, I would shut my eyes before I made the left turn. He was like, at one point, he was like, Karina, you can't do that. And so that's how I feel. Like, if you lost your job, you lost your income, and you cannot pay, don't close your eyes and jump in. Stop and keep your eyes open. Be sure of your income. Be sure of everything. And just know that, in the words of Oprah, the system is rigged in your favor.
On that note, Karina Mendoza, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it. Karina Mendoza, bilingual financial educator at UW Extension. She works out of Dane County. Pleasure talking with her today. Just to look ahead, Phil Pelletieri, our entomologist, joins us tomorrow to talk about the world of insects. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening, and please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.